Today she is Masech Tzvach on Daf Mem Gimel, and we'll start on Daf Mem Beis on the Beis, two lines from the bottom, El Dvarim, the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues discussing halachas of pigel. El Dvarim she'en chayav melei mishum pigel. The following parts of Kabbonis don't have the halacha of pigel applied to them. And the basic underlying concept of our Mishnah is that in order for something to be pigel, for part of a karma to be pigel, there has to be a matir, something that makes the other parts of the karma mutter, and a nitter, and something that becomes mutter. A matir cannot be pigel. The kaimitz, we've been discussing numerous times in our shiurim, the kaimitz is a matir, because once they burn the kaimitz on the mizbeach, the rest of the mincha may be eaten by the kohanim. So since the kaimitz is a matir, hilchas pigel don't apply to the kaimitz. Ask the Rishonim the obvious question. We just discussed as recently as yesterday's shiur that nothing can become pigel until you finish all of the avodah on it anyway. So, as I said a second ago, what happens with the kaimitz? They burn it on the mizbeach. So what would be pigel with the kaimitz anyway? Once you burn it, it couldn't become pigel until you burn it, and once you burn it, there's nothing to eat that you should be chayiv karos for. So what's the Mishnah teaching us that there's no pigel on the kaimitz? So Rabbeinu Tam indeed says, the Mishnah is just teaching us a concept. It's not relevant to Halach Lamaisa. Rashi says it is relevant. Because Rashi says that the kaimitz, once it's burnt on the Mizbeach, Shiyotzis or Berubai, it's mostly burnt, it's considered that the Akhtara has been accomplished. But it's still edible, and that's why were it a candidate for pigel, it could become pigel. I'm going to do something, not that I'm taking a side in the Machlekes Rishonim. I'm just doing it because it's easier to explain the Mishnah this way. The Machlekes Rishonim, if what's the proper gears in the Mishnah, if the next thing that should be mentioned is the Levain or then the Ketairis. The latter Rishonim say it should be the Levain because the Kaimitz and the Levain travel together. So I'm going to explain the Mishnah that way, not that I have a right to have an opinion in the proper gears. What is the Levain? The Levain is the pot we also learned on the Karim Mincha that's also taken and burnt on the Mizbeach. So the Levain is a matter because once the Levain is burnt, then you can eat the rest of the Karim Mincha. Ask the Rishonim a number of questions. One question that they ask is that the Levain is also something that's nitar. Why is the Levain nitar? Because you can't burn the Levain certainly and before the Kaimitz is burnt, really even before the kaimitz is removed. So why is the levain not considered something that's nitar? So the two answers I saw in the Rishonim. One answer I saw in the Rishonim is that even if something is a nitar, but it's also a matir, that's already enough of a reason that it shouldn't be a subject to pigel. And the levain is a matir and a nitar. One teretz. Another teretz that the Rishonim suggests, how does the levain become mutter to be burnt? As I just said, because the kaimitz is burnt before it. So it turns out that what makes the levain mutter, something that has a very interesting characteristic, something that has the characteristic of being a double matter. So the kaimitz is matter, the levain, and it's also matter, the rest of the karban mincha. Something that becomes mutter through a double matter is not something that's called a nitar that should be subject to hilchas pigel. That's the way other Rishonim explain. Here too we have the exact same question that I mentioned a moment ago. When would the Levain be subject to pigel? After it's burnt. After it's burnt, there's nothing to eat. To which the Rishonim respond, even though they took a whole spoonful of Levain, the halach is once two granules are burnt, it's been considered that Ketar has been accomplished. So now it's very geschmack. Two granules are burnt, and you have the rest of the Levain, that were they pigel, you would have a way that should be pigel. Haktairis. We know that every day that they did the ketairis. And here too, the ketairis is not a mat, there's no matter nitter situation on the ketairis, because there's no two parts of the ketairis. All of the ketairis is burnt. Here too, the Rishonim asked the question that I've been speaking about. The ketairis is completely burnt. So if it's completely burnt, how could it be pigel? What are you going to be eating? So the Rishonim respond. And there's even a better, so the Rishonim respond that what would it be? The same like we explained before, that Shiyotzis or Berubai. But then there's another question. You know, when you speak about the kaimitz and you speak about the levain, So by the, especially by the koimitz, there's the koimitz that's taken off, which is corresponds to the shechita, putting into the kli sharos is corresponds to the kabbalah. There are places where you can make a pigle. Where would you make, when would you have the machshevas pigle by the k'tairis? So the rishonim, the achronim respond, when you carry the k'tairis to the mizbeach. But if you all, I'm sure, remember that we learned the opinion of Rav Shimon, I think it's in Dafyur Aleph, that Rav Shimon says that halacha, a carbon doesn't become pigle during halacha, because halacha is an avoidable avoida. So we're back to where we started. When would it be pigle? It can't be during the halacha. So Rav Chaim Brisker says that even Rav Shimon, who holds that halacha is avoidable, on Yom Kippur, that they carry the Torah all the way into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he'll agree that on Yom Kippur, halacha is an avoida, and that's what Pshat in the Mishnah is. Others say, again, on Yom Kippur, part of the avoida, we learned to Masech the Yuma, where the Ketairis was Chafina, so it meant during the Chafina of the Ketairis. So I saw a fascinating Psak Halacha, the Karen Iris says this, based on this. If anybody ever attends a Bris Mila, so the Bris Mila, there's a Kvater. The Kvater is the one that carries the child to give him to the Sandik. Actually, in some communities, there's another kibbut called Chayka. Chayka is that they ask people to carry the child towards the sandik. And the question that comes up, what is the basis of this kibbut? And moreover, the halacha is that if one attends a bris milah, he's supposed to stand because of the covered hamitzvah. The question is, do you also have to stand during the time that they're carrying the child to the sandik? So the paiskim want to bring a raya from our Mishnah. We know that the Ramah says that a bris milah is like k'tairis. That's why the Ramah says that just like somebody who did the k'tairis, the Gemara says ma'asheris would become wealthy, somebody who becomes a sandik is a schooler for wealth. And if we're learning now in our Mishnah that carrying the k'tairis is part of the avoid of the k'tairis, and that's when it would become pigle, so it turns out that carrying the child to the sandik is also like carrying the k'tairis, and therefore it's a mitzvah to carry the child, and that's why it's a kibbutz to be asked to carry the child, and since it's a mitzvah, somebody should stand during that part of the bris milah also. Michas kohanim. The halacha is that unlike a mincha brought by Yisrael, where we have the kaimitz and the rest of the mincha, the kaimitz burnt and the rest of the mincha eaten by the kohanim, the halacha of michas kohanim is that michas kohanim is completely burnt. Since it's completely burnt, so there's no matter in it there, there's no pigle. Michas Kohen Mashiach. The halacha is that every day the Kohen Gadol would have to bring an asiris or eifah of flour. They would bake it into 12 loaves. 6 of the loaves were brought in the morning, and 6 of the loaves were brought in the afternoon, completely burnt. So again, we have no matter and nitter, so there's no pigle. So I saw that Mishnah Melech asks a question. Our Mishnah has and will continue giving us a list of items where there's no pigle. What's the halacha? Is pshat that it's not pigle, but it's usur, that it's pasul, or it's entirely no problem? It's actually machlokes rishonim. So I saw a compromised position that some mefarshim suggest. When we speak about the first part of the Mishnah, the kaimitz, the levoina. So the kaimitz and the levoina, they themselves are not pigle, but they're part of a carbon that could be pigle. The rest of the carbon could be pigle. The Michus Kahanim, Michus Kai Mashiach that we just described, there's no part of it that becomes pigle. So I'm a farshan, I want to suggest that when the part of the carbon that's not pigle is part of a carbon that can become pigle, it may not be pigle, but it'll be pusle. But when we have no part of the carbon that can become pigle, it won't be pusle either. And that will be the difference between the Kaimans and Levina versus the Michus Kahanim, the Michus Kai Mashiach. Vadam. The dam of every carbon, the dam of every carbon is matter that the rest, once you do the dam, then you could burn the amrim, you could eat the meat. So the dam is a matter. A matter is not subject to pickle. As Taisvis, let's think about the dam. The dam is not only a matter, it's a nitaroso. Because what's the halacha? We've learned it many times in our perek. You sprinkle a dam on the mizbeach, and what do you do with the rest of the dam? You pour it on the yisoid. So you have some blood which is a matter, the dam that goes on the Mizbeach, and on the top of the Mizbeach, and then you have dam which is a nitar that becomes mutter because of the rest of the dam. So why isn't the dam that's going to be poured on the Shrine considered a nitar and it should be considered subject to pigel? So Tais says a gevaldige teretz. Tais says you start off with the dam. You don't know which drop of blood is going to be the dam that's going to be on the top and which is going to be the dam on the bottom, which is going to be the Shrine. Every drop of blood has the potential of being that dam. Every drop of blood has the potential of being that dam that's going to be on the top of the Mizbeach. And therefore, they all are, every drop of blood is in the category of a matter. So the Shita asks a Gevaldige Kasha based on this. By the Karbe Mincha. What happens by the Karbe Mincha? You start with all of the ingredients, the Kaimitz, and then you have the rest of the ingredients. So why don't we say Tosfos a Svara, that every drop of the Karbe Mincha has the potential of being the Kaimitz, and since every drop of the Karbe Mincha has the potential of being the Kaimitz, nothing of it should be subject to Pigel. Gevaldige Kasha. So the Shita answers, there's a difference between Dam and Mincha. By Dam, you don't necessarily have to have dam left over. And if you didn't do any Shficha Shrayim, the carbon is still kosher. By carbon mincha, you must have Shrayim. If you only had Kaimitz and no Shrayim, the carbon would be disqualified, therefore they're not comparable. So I want to repeat an incredible tshuva that I saw from the Marsham, based on this concept that I just saw, that we look at the potential. Again, in our world, it's less of a Shaila, but it could be a Shaila in our world too. This question came up all of the time in Europe. They didn't have electricity. And the people came early in the morning, Shabbos, to daven. So what would they have? A guy putting on lamps in the shul for people to be able to see, to daven and to learn. But we know the halach is that if a guy does something on behalf of a Jew on Shabbos, it's also to have enough from Maisa Akam on Shabbos, if he's doing it on our behalf. So how could they daven in the shul with the Akam put on the lamps? There's no such a heter. There's no heter tzibur. So what's the heter? So the Marsham says in Moedig Chedish, Marsham says the Akam had to put on one lamp because he had to see where he's going. To put on a lamp for himself, he's allowed to. So yes, he put on not one lamp, he put on 20 lamps. But every lamp may be the lamp that he needs. And Tosfos just said, a chiddush, that since every drop of blood may be the blood that's going to be the dam that's the matter, so we look at all of the blood as dam matter. Says the same to Marsham. Since every lamp has the potential of being the lamp that the guy needs, all the lamps are mutter. You have to be a Marsham. Let's review this case. We know the halacha is that when they brought it, the Torah prescribes that when a carbon is brought, you have to bring along with it a carbon mincha, you have to bring along with it nesachim. So the halacha is, there are two situations when one could bring such a carbon. Certainly, if somebody donates a carbon minchas nesachim, the wine, the mincha is completely burnt on the Mizbeach, because you don't necessarily have to give it as part of bringing an animal carbon. There's no matter in nitter. There's no pigel. But now the machlekes we're going to have in the Mishnah is in a case when you brought the behema, the animal, and you bring along the michas nesachim. So you don't bring the michas nesachim until you bring the animal. So is this a matter nitter situation? So we have a very fundamental machlekes from Mei and the Chachamim. The Chachamim's opinion is, since the din is that you don't have to bring the carbon michas nesachim on the same day that you bring the carbon, we're going to learn the sugi many times. Yesh mevi kabon hayoyim v'michas nesachim lach asar yamim. So they're not connected. We'll speak tomorrow's shir. The Brisker Rav has a number of ways of explaining that concept. Ramea says it makes a difference. If you brought the michas nesachim together with your carbon, so then we have a matan nitta situation, and the michas nesachim is subject to mila, to pigel. If, on the other hand, you chose to bring your carbon michas nesachim, not at the same time that you bring your carbon, even he'll agree that it's not subject to pigel. Let's read the words of the Mishnah. V'nesachim habam b'fnei atzmai, divrei remeya, According to Meir, only if you brought the Michas Nesachim without the Behema, it's not subject to Bigel. According to Chama, as we just explained, even if you brought it together, since you didn't have to bring it together, it's not subject to Bigel. Next case. A case that we've discussed many times. What happens when a Mitzvah is ready for purification? So first he brings a Karban Asham, and there are two Kahanim that are there to accept the dam of the Karban Asham. One does the regular Kabbalah, and does Rik on the Mizbeach. One does Kabbalah in his right hand, some of the dam, pours it in his right palm, pours it into his left palm, and then takes that dam, and as we learned, dabs it on the right thumb, and right toe, and right earlobe of the Mitzvah. Then they take the Loik Shel Shemen. And again, what happens is, it's poured into the from the right hand into the left hand of the Kayin. First he does seven Srikas towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Afterwards they put it on the right hand, the right toe, and the right thumb, and the right earlobe of the Mitzvah. The rest of what's left in his palm, they smear on his head. And the rest of the oil is eaten by the Kohanim, is used by the Kohanim. So again, is this a Matanita situation? The Rabbanon hold that since you don't have, the Mitzvah doesn't have to have the avoid of the Oshem Dam and the avoid of the Shemen done at the same time, it can't be considered a Matanita situation. Remeir concurs that if they didn't do it at the same time, it wouldn't be a Matanita situation. But if it was done on the same time, similar to the previous Machlaikas, it would be a Matanita situation. In fact, Tosfos asked the obvious kasha. These two Machlaikas are parallel to each other. So why, if they're so parallel to each other, doesn't the Mishnah connect, turn them into one case, the Mishnah keeps them into two cases? And Tosfos doesn't even answer the kasha. The Chachamim want to say because each one of them has a unique characteristic. The Loik Shel Shemen has a unique characteristic, like I just explained. The leftover Loik Shel Shemen is used by the Kohanim. There's nothing left over by the Michas Nesachim that's used by the Kohanim. On the other hand, the connection between the Loik Shel Shemen and the Dam Oshem is a lot stronger than the connection between Michas Nesachim and the Karban. Why? Because you can never bring a Loik Shel Shemen unless you're a Mitzvah and you brought a Karban Oshem. Maybe not on that day, but you had to have that process. Michas Nesachim, as I said earlier, it is possible to bring a Michas Nesachim, just bring a Michas Nesachim. And that's why each one of them has such different characteristics, suggest the Mefarshim, that's why the Mishnah kept it into two separate cases. Let's read this inside. Loik Shemesh HaMetzayra, Rav Shimon HaMe Ein Chayav HaLav Mishim Pigel, because you don't have to bring them together. Rav Meir HaMe Chayav HaLav Mishim Pigel. Why? Because if you brought them together, Shetam Hashem Metira, only after you did the Avoidu with the Dam Hashem, that's when you could do the Avoidu with the Loik Shel Shemen. Summarizes the Mishnah. V'kosh Yesh LeMetirin, Bein La'adam Bein LeMizbeach, whenever you have a Matanita situation, Chayav HaLav Mishim Pigel. Ha'oila, when we speak about a carbon oila, Dama Matim is B'sar LeMizbeach, sprinkling the dam makes that you should put, be allowed to put the basar of the oil in the Mizbeach, for oil l'kahanim. So the Mefarshim asks, oil l'kahanim? Oil is not something that's eaten. We don't eat the skin. So why is the Mishnah teaching us that the oil, about the oil, oil wouldn't be subject to pigle, it's not eaten. So some Mefarshim, the Stipler, suggest that the Mishnah is just teaching us a concept, that there's a matan niter situation by carbon oil. The Rishash reminds us of a Gemara that we learned. If you remember, we learned the Gemara about the Or Tachas Ha'alya. The skin under the Alya is very soft and edible. That's the Or that's being spoken about in our Mishnah that is edible and therefore subject to pigel. Oila Sa'if. If someone brings the Oila Sa'if, the Torah says that the blood should be drained, Mitzui Hadam, on the Mizbeach, and Dama Matz Pesar, that makes the Basar to be able to be burnt on the Mizbeach. Chatas Oif, when somebody brings a Chatas Oif, how is the Hazor done? The way the Hazor is done is that they twirl around the bird after it's dead. And Dama Matis Pesar L'Kohanim. And then the Kohanim allowed to eat the flesh, the meat of that bird. Parm and Esrafim, Vasarim and Esrafim. The subject that we've been discussing in our recent Shurim. So Dama Matis Merem L'Karev. After the proper Zrikas Adam on the Proiches, on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, then you could put the Emurim. So we have a Matir Nitir situation. Rav Shimon Oimer, however, teaches us Rav Shimon, Kol She'en Al Mizbeach HaChitzin Kishlamim, as we're going to discuss at great length in tomorrow's Shir Mitzvah. The pasuk that teaches us Hilchos Pigel is by Karban Shlamim, and since it's a pasuk by Karban Shlamim, he says only something that's similar like Karban Shlamim, which is brought on the Mizbeach HaChitzin, is subject to Pigel. Parim and the Srafim, as we've been learning, Param Davish Otzibber, Parakai Mashiach, is brought inside the base of Migdash, and therefore there's no Chiyuv of Pigel by those Kabbanis. And Chayav L'Mishim Pigel. Begins the Gemara with a statement that Ula teaches us. Am Ula, Kaimitz Pigel Shehel Agab Mizbeach. A Kaimitz, a Pigel that was put on the Mizbeach. A Kaimitz that became Pigel and he put it on the Mizbeach. Paka Beglo Rimenu. It's no longer considered Pigel. For he makes the following statement, and a totally ambiguous statement, which the Gemara is going to explain immediately. What does that mean? The Gemara's question. My comma, what does Ula say? Answer the Gemara Hachkam. This is what he means to say. To review a din that we learned in the previous year. In the previous year, we learned the halacha. That unless you finish all of that void on a carbon, it wouldn't become pigel. That we learned, unless you did all the way through Zrika, it wouldn't be pigel. So now let's think about it. If bringing this kaimitz on the mizbeach, the kaimitz of a carbon mincha that became pigel, would be a meaningless act, then you never completed the avoda. If you never completed the avoda, you don't have pigel. So how would you ever have pigel by a carbon mincha? We've been discussing for numerous days that you could have a carbon mincha by pigel. You could have pigel by a carbon mincha. How could you ever have it? It must be, because when you put the kaimitz on the mizbeach, it's no longer considered pigel. So it's considered a valid haktara. So you did all of the avoida, and that's why the rest of the karban mincha could be subject to hilchos pigel. My kamashmon asked him, what exactly is Ula teaching us? In the idi ein chayav l'mishim pigel, if Ula is trying to teach us that the kaimitz is not subject to hilchos pigel, ask the Gemara, that I need Ula to teach us. We just finished learning a Mishnah. Tanina. Eil Dvarm Shein Chayav Lam Shem Pigel. Hakoyim is Faktoris Valvonim. Mechaz Koyanim. Mechaz Koyim Mashiach. Mechaz Nesach V'Adam. So that's not, I don't need Ula to teach me what's explicit in the Mishnah. Ela, perhaps what he's teaching us, is them all Ula Yardu. That if this, the Koyimitz, that's Pigel, was put on the Mizbeach, even though it shouldn't be put on the Mizbeach, something that's possible, we leave it there. Ask the Gemara, that too has been taught. We're going to learn a Mishnah, that the Mishnah discusses all sorts of disqualifications. Halon, something that was kept past the right time. Vayotzi was taken out of the Azara. Vatama, Vishnishkat, Chutz Lazman, Vachutz Mekoymai. Pigel, Im Olu Layardu. So I don't need Ula to teach us that then either. Ella, you're going to suggest that you know what Ula is teaching us? The Myardu, that if, and you have to read the right Girsa here, the Myardu Layalu. That even though the disqualified items were put on the Mizbeach, but if somebody fell off the Mizbeach, they should be not put back. Ask the Gemara Han Namitanina. That halacha has also been taught. Because the Mishnah teaches us there on that Pei Dalet. Kshem Shem Olu La Yardu. So, is just like the halacha is that if they're put on the Mizbeach, which they shouldn't have, they kept there. Similarly, the halacha is Kachem Yardu La Yalu. That if they come off the Mizbeach, they should not be put back on. So what is Ula teaching us that we haven't learned? Answers the Gemara, Latzricha Shemashlam and Aar. Ula is teaching us that even though the halacha is that if they're there, keep them. And if they fall off, don't put them back on. But if Mashlaban Ha'ar, if they're mostly burnt, then you can put it back on. And there's a beautiful verse in the Meshe Chachma, a pasuk that we all know. Zois Tyrus Ha'ayla, Hi Ha'ayla Al Moikta. Explains the Meshech Chachma Pshan in the Pasuk like this. Zois Tyrus Ha'ayla. You want to know the halacha of the Ayla? Hi Ha'ayla. The halacha of the Ayla is that if it's put on the Mizbeach, whether it's kosher or not kosher, Ayla. Leave it on the Mizbeach. If it falls off, don't put it back on. Al Moikta? But if it's already burnt, Al Mizbeach Kalesh. Then put it back on the Mizbeach, even if it fell off. Our Gemara. Ask the Gemara, that din also Hanamri Omer Ula Chad Zimna. That's also a din that Ula has already previously taught us. Dama Ula, Ula said that this halacha is that if they fell off, you don't put it back on, is only in a situation, Shleim Moshel Ben Ar, that the fire hasn't essentially consumed it. Ava Moshel Ben Ar, once the fire consumes them, Yalu, even if they fell off, and they shouldn't have been there, you should put them back on. So what's Ula teaching us? Answers the Gemara, Ma'ad Taimar, Hanimile Eva de Mechaber. Let's say you'll have an organ of an animal. That's possible, whatever psul that we just spoke about. And the halacha is that that eva falls off. So the halacha is that if most of the eva got burnt, then you can put it back on. Avakimits. Let's think about flour. Flour is granules. Each granule is a separate granule. What is the kaimits of a karmi mincha? A handful, a fistful of granules of flour. So maybe we should think that every piece of flour is considered separate. Amaloi. It should not be considered that just because part of it is burnt, it should have an effect on the rest of it. Kamashmon, that it does. And in fact, says Rav Achon. Hilkach, high kometz pigel. The palga machas aro, palga aske marocha. Half of it is on the mizbeach, and half of it is on the floor. Once, moshel ben ar, if part of it gets burnt, not only the part that's burnt may be returned to the mizbeach, we could put it all back on, because it's considered one unit. So again, there's a tremendous darker tshuva in a subject that is not connected to this issue at all, that the darker tshuva uses this gemara to paskin. Issue close to us in kashrus. The halacha is, we all know that taloim, worms, are asr. But when is a worm become asr? Mishapirish. Only when it moves away from its natural place where it grew. So the question comes up, worms and flour. When is it considered pirish? When is it considered pirish? There are three opinions in the Achronim. One opinion in the Achronim is, let's say you have a bag of a flour, and you have a worm in the bag, and it moved around from where it was originally to somewhere else. Even though it's still in that original bag, that's already considered pirish. That's one opinion. Another opinion is that it's only, that if it moved all the way to the outer, to the wall, to the bag part. And a third opinion is that even if it moved within that bag, as long as it's within that original bag that it was in, it's not considered pirish. Says it's a very big cooler. Says the Darkei Tshuva, it's the opinion of the Pri Chodesh. Says the Darkei Tshuva, there's a right that the Pri Chodesh is right from our Gemara. Because what does our Gemara say? Our Gemara says that even though the Chaimetz is made up of, I don't know how many granules, it's still considered one unit. So too says the Darkei Tshuva. We see that all of the flour in one bag, even though it's made out of all these separate specks of flour, it's really one unit, and it's not considered pirish until it leaves that whole bag. Very big cooler. I'm not paskening la halach lamaisa, I'm just saying an interesting Darkei Tshuva. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav Yochanan. Ha-pigel va-nois va-tamei. Pigel, noiser, and tamei, all of these are obviously osur. Shehelon l'gab mizbeach, once they put on the mizbeach, pok isman. So first of all, the Rishonim say that in order that the isser should go off, it has to be that it was on the mizbeach. But let's say part of it was on the mizbeach, and part of it wasn't on the mizbeach. Most Rishonim are of the opinion that the part that was not on the mizbeach, even though it's part of a carbon that is on the mizbeach, the part that's not on cannot be positively affected by the part that was on. Some Rishonim say it doesn't make a difference. It's a very big machlokes here, Chaznish and the Brisker Rav, how to understand this Gemara. Chaznish says that the tamei that's put on the mizbeach, once it's put on the mizbeach, the isser goes away. Says the Chaznish, you know what the isser goes away means? That there's an isser achila to eat that kachim that a tamei. So if it's on the mizbeach, that isser achila goes away. But the tumah remains. Brisker Rav has a very hard time understanding the Chazanish. He says, don't they travel together? If it's Tameh, it's Asr. If it's not Asr, it's not Tameh. How does the Chazanish separate? So he says, a Gevalda Gevart to Brisker Rav. He says, we know, we've learned this many times together, that the halach is that for something to be Tameh, to something to be a candidate for Tumah, it has to be Mukhshal Kabbal Tumah, it has to become wet. But we learned that by Kachim there's a special din, Chibas HaKadosh. That even though it never got wet, and under normal circumstances it should not be a candidate for Tumah, Chibas HaKadosh makes it susceptible to Tumah. Says the Briskrov, that's Pshat in the Gemara. Since the Hilchas Tumah of Kachem are not your regular Hilchas Tumah, it didn't even get wet, and it's susceptible to Tumah. That's why being put on the Mizbeach is enough to take away the Hilchas Tumah. So I want to tell you over an incredible Avni Nezer based on this Gemara. This, I would say, probably the most fundamental halacha in Hilchas Chanukah. That's the main sugya, Masech the Shabbos in Hilchas Chanukah, is hadlaka oisa mitzvah. Just putting on the candle is all you did the mitzvah, and the halacha is kofsa in zakaklo. That means if you put up a proper candle and you lit it, and the second after you lit it, the candle gets extinguished, apidin, you don't have to relight the candle. Kofsa in zakaklo. Hadlaka oisa mitzvah. So if you learn that halacha, it's a very difficult halacha to understand. The main point of the Neir Chanukah is to have those candles burning. So here you had the candle on for a second, and you were mekayim the mitzvah. How do we understand that halacha? So says the Avni Nezer, this Gemara is the basis for that halacha. Beautiful. He says, what happened by the Hilchas Chanukah? That they had only tamei oil. They only were able to find a pach, a small flask of tar oil. So he explains as follows. The oil being tamei is not a problem, because our Gemara just said that if you put something tamei on the Mizbeach, and the menorah ought to have the same din, even if it's tamei, paki sura, this goes away. So for what second did they need tardig oil? They didn't need tardig oil for the burning after the first second, because the paki sura menei. They only needed the tardig oil for the first second that they lit it. So the whole mace and the whole need was only for that first moment. So that's why the whole mitzvah is the hadlaka isa mitzvah. Since we said so much halacha in this Gemara, we have to also say a little drush. The Chassidish Svarim say that this Gemara is the basis. We know, we mentioned this actually earlier in our shiur today, that when a Jewish child has a bris milah, it's like Tyrus. It's like he's put on the Mizbeach. So they say, any child that's put on the Mizbeach, so it becomes like Lachma Shem Mizbeach, becomes connected to Kedusha. And therefore, how far he could unfortunately, travel away from our rich and beautiful heritage, Paki Surmine, the Isser could always go away because he has that connection to the Mizbeach. And anything that has a connection to the Mizbeach has a connection to Kedusha. Says the Gemara. Amar Yitzchak Amar Yochanan, Pekel V'Anois V'Tamei Shalom Gav Mizbeach, Paki Surminan. Amar Rava, Maridicha. I don't understand. Mizbeach Mikveh Tahara? Is Mizbeach a Mikveh? That you put something on the Mizbeach and it becomes Tahar? Amar Zera, Shemashlam Ar. He's referring to a case, the Mashlam Ben Ar. And since Mashlam Ben Ar, the Issa goes away, becomes Lachma Shem Mizbeach. Ask the Gemara, Masar Yitzchak Babisna, Achayim Oimrim. The pasuk says, "V'tumasu olav." The question here is that the Gemara is going to be discussing is that we know that one may not have kabbonis kachum in the tummy. The Torah says, "V'tumasu olav, chiv karis." The question is, what does tumasu olav mean? Does tumasu olav mean that the kachum are tummy, or does tumasu olav mean that the person is tummy? So says the Braisa, v'tumasa olav, mishu tumapachs v'menu. The fact that the pasuk says v'turasa olav, it means that it's talking about something that tumah can leave. What does that mean? The person. Because a person could be tameh and then become tar. Yotze basar. So it obviously doesn't mean it's the meat itself, because the meat itself ain't tumapachs v'menu. Once kach become tameh, they never could become tar. Ask the Gemara, if what Rabbi Yitzchak said is correct, why are we saying that the pasuk must be speaking about the person who's tamei, not about the carbon that's tamei? Because only a person can become tar, not a carbon. Here we say that a carbon can become tar by being put on the mizbeach. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Aydei Mikra Kumin. What the pasuk means to say is like this: only such a thing that the tumah could come off through a mikveh is what the pasuk is speaking about. Basar kachim, tumma could be removed, and not through a mikvah, through a mizbeach. Aida mikvah kaminin. Ask the Mara, me de mikvah ksiv? That's how what the pasuk says. Elam arava, the basar shlamim askinin. That pasuk speaking about basar shlamim, that basar shlamim, as we've learned, is not put on the mizbeach. The basar shlamim is eaten by the kohanim and by the owners. The lechazar krava. Ravina Amma, how do we know that that pasuk is speaking about a person that's tummy, not a carbon that's tummy? But tumasa olav, mish tumasa paraksim men kushisholim. It's talking when the item is whole. Yotza basar, davish ain tuma paraksim men kushisholim and kushuchasar. Yes, tumma could go off a piece of meat, but it's only when it's burnt. So it's not whole. A person can have the tumma removed from him when he's Baruch Hashem fine by just going into the mitzvah. So since we spoke about this din, the Gemara is going to go into it for a moment. Gufa. V'tumasa olav. The pasuk speaks about tuma, and we're not sure what does the pasuk mean. It says the Gemara means v'tumasa gufa kas bedabra. It's talking about a person that's tamei. Ask the Brice itself. At the arm of v'tumasa guf, that the person is tamei, or perhaps enel v'tumas basar, that the meat is tamei. Says the Brice, nem kan tumasa, v'nem lahalun tumasa olav. Ma lahalun, that pasuk is talking about v'tumasa guf, that the person is tamei, afkam b'tumas agof b'as medaber, that the person is tamei. Rabbi Yossi has a different way of understanding. However, number kachim b'loshin rabim. When the Torah speaks about kachim, about the kabbanis, it says loshin rabim. When the Torah speaks about the tumma, it uses a loshin yachid. B'tumas agof b'as medaber. Kabbanis, there are many kabbanis. A person is one. So it must be that's talking about tumas agof. Rabbi Omer, v'ochel Vachol betumas aguf hakos bedaber. Achol is talking to a person, not to the animal. Acherim amrim. How do we know it's talking about tumas aguf? Betuma, like we just explained, betumasa olav mishi tuma paraks menu. Only such an item that tuma could leave. Yotzabasish ein tuma paraks menu. Here too, the Ragged Shabbos says. Here we see that a Jew never really becomes tamei. Tuma paraks menu. Tuma that comes to a Jew is only external. Paraks menu. Not doesn't become part and parcel of what we are. Amamar. So the Gemara analyzes what we just learned. Rabbi Omer v'ochel v'tumas aguf hakos v'daber. Amar my mashma. How do we know that's referring to tumas aguf? Says Rava. Kol kra the lamefarish le'Rav Yitzchak Avdimi. Any pasuk that it's not Rav Yitzchak Avdimi who is explaining to us. V'kol masnisa and any brisa the lamefarish Rav Zeiri that isn't explained by Rav Zeiri. We really won't have clear pshat. Hacham Rav Yitzchak Avdimi. And this is the way Rav Yitzchak Avdimi explained the pasuk. Hoil ha-kosev. I need to read the pasuk. I don't remember it by heart. The pasuk says, V'nefesh asher toichel b'psa'a zevach ha-shlamim asher la-shem v'tumaso olof v'nechrosa ha-nefesh ahim ha-meha. The word nefesh is a lashon nekeva. It refers to a pasuk. The tumaso olav is a lashon zocher. Refers to the carbon. But grammatically, this pasuk is difficult. It goes nekeva, lashon nekeva, lashon zocher, lashon nekeva. So how do we understand the pasuk? Hol upasuk akosav lashon nekeva. It starts with lashon nekeva, the sign of lashon nekeva, and it ends with a lashon nekeva. The lashon zocher beemtza. And it uses a lashon zocher in the middle. It must be because of gufakos bedaber that since the pasuk begins and ends with lashon nekeva, which refers to the pasuk, it must mean that even though the middle is lashon zocher, it doesn't change it from meaning that we're talking about the person that the person has a tumas aguf.